tide is a roller coaster, liturgically. Our colors go from white on the feast of Christmas. The next day, they go to red for the first martyr and a proto-deacon of the church, St. Stephen. Then the next day, for St. John the Evangelist, an apostle, and white again. And then only yesterday, the feast of those dear children lost because of Herod's rage to destroy one who he thought would assert his kingship, which he asserts all kings, as we know. And so we don't know how many, but many, many infants were slaughtered by the ruthless hand of Herod. Today is the feast of St. Thomas the Becket. He, in courting, carrying out his duties as a bishop, was doing vespers. People were knocking at the door. He knew who they were. They were coming to slay him. Because earlier the king had said, "Who shall rid me of this meddlesome priest?" What he meant by that, history doesn't really tell us, but those four that were sent by him slew Thomas Becket at the altar while he was offering the vespers, the even song. Another part of Christmas, a song that I used to not like, is so repetitive. Who can guess what that Christmas song might be that's very repetitive? The 12 days of Christmas. It's a traditional holiday song. I think it's good to visit us because we learn something about meditating on the 12 days of Christmas, something each day. The 12 days of Christmas, a traditional holiday song, carries hidden meaning. And this is a shameful part of history, but reflecting religious symbols during a time when practicing Catholic faith was restricted in England from 1558 until as late as 1829. Each element in the song holds a symbolic significance, celebrating Christianity discreetly. Understanding the deeper meaning transforms the song into a joyful anthem of praise, urging believers to appreciate their freedom to worship openly and to share the gospel confidently with others. The song becomes a reminder of the blessings of faith, hope, love, charity, encouraging reflection and gratitude during the holiday season. Again, this story goes from that 1558 period until 1829, when people in England were not allowed to practice their Catholic faith openly. A little story from Maryland. You've heard of old St. Joseph's on the Eastern Shore. Father Mosley, Jesuit priest, opened that mission. He held Mass in the rectory. They hadn't built a church at that time, so that he could celebrate Mass without fear of possibly being drawn and quartered. Simply celebrating the Mass. That's probably the oldest Catholic congregation in Maryland. I don't know if there's anything in St. Mary's. Well, there probably is, but on the Eastern Shore, that's definitely the first one on the Eastern Shore. Old Bohemia was another one. But imagine having to practice their Catholic faith in secrecy. The same thing happened in Philadelphia, where I was born. Again, named St. Joseph. They built a huge brick wall around it. And I guess Anglicans and Methodists were different up there, because the Anglicans, before even the Quakers said anything about it, what is wrong with Catholic Mass? It's very similar to our own Mass in the Anglican Church. So this happened in Philadelphia and on the Eastern Shore of Maryland. In one place, the Anglicans and Methodists persecuting the Catholics. In another place, where I was born, the Anglicans actually opened the door to have the Roman Catholic Mass. So the 12 days of Christmas was written as a subtle way of celebrating Christ's birth in public without risk of persecution, or in some cases, death. The song's lyrics have a hidden meaning known only to members of the church. Those primarily were catechumens studying to be confirmed. Each element of the 12 days offers a code meaning for religious reality. The partridge in the pear tree stood for Jesus Christ our Lord. Two turtle doves stood for the Old and New Testaments. Three French hens stood for faith, hope, and charity. And by some versions, for the Trinity, Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. The four calling birds were the four Gospels, those of Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. The five gold rings represented the first five books of the Old Testament, the Law, the Pentateuch, the Torah, the five books of Moses. The six geese laying stood for the 6 days of creation. Seven swans swimming signified the sevenfold gifts of the Holy Ghost. The eight maids milking represented the Beatitudes that Christ taught. The nine ladies dancing were the nine fruits of the Spirit, the Holy Spirit. And also, in some places, there were different versions of these, but they were all good for catechumens. Another version says nine choirs of angels. The angels, the archangels, cherubim, seraphims, the different ranks of angels. 10 lords of Lincoln were the 10 commandments. 11 pipers piping stood for the 11 faithful disciples. 12 drummers drumming symbolized the 12 points of the belief in the Apostles' Creed. I think it's pretty fascinating. I stumbled on this only a few years ago. I don't know how many people know this, but it is fascinating. Whether or not the story is based on true occurrence, I happen to believe it is, because when you look at church history is ugly everywhere, and very much so in England, from the clash and clang of the Puritans, the Anglicans, and the Roman Catholics. Hearing a storm gave me pause to reflect on the song. Now, it doesn't bore me anymore. It means something to me. Each element of the lyrics offers a positive reason to celebrate Christianity. With a deeper meaning to contemplate, the song becomes a light-hearted anthem of praise and tribute to those who dared celebrate in song their gratitude for Christ, their study of Christ, studying for confirmation. I know for my part, the song has real meaning for me. And it tells me something else. Sometimes, as I say, don't judge a book by the cover. Open the book and see what's inside. I think that's a good point for this. Aren't we truly blessed that we can come in here and worship freely without fear of someone bursting in here and someone telling slay the priest and slay everybody in here? It doesn't happen in this country, but it happens all over the world. Should we stand a little taller when we have an opportunity when God taps us on the shoulder, our soul, to share the gospel with somebody? And often sharing the gospel is like that is attributed to St. Francis of Assisi. Pray the gospel, show the gospel, show the gospel, and if necessary, use words. Live the gospel, live the gospel, and if necessary, use words. We're blessed also to have Holy Scripture to read and ponder on. Maybe we should spend a little more time reading sacred writ, reading more about our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Wouldn't it be better to get more acquainted with the fruits of the Spirit, the manifestation of letting the Holy Ghost rule our life in all points of what we do, say, and think? So here we are on the fourth day of Christmas. And I think for myself, I've done since to listen to this song again and to ponder what it says and to think about those brave people back in merry old England who were brave enough to study regardless of the possible cost of doing so. Today, in this country, Christianity is under attack, but not in such a way as it is in places in Africa. Even in England today, people have been arrested and punished for simply praying silently in front of an abortion clinic. Brandon Sons from being arrested. I hope it isn't coming here, but it could come here. So, Christmas, Christ, Mass. Let us come to his altar in a few minutes and feed on him that deigns to come to us, to dwell with us, to come, enter time and space that he did when he was here for 33 years, dared to enter time and space for our sakes, and remain so until his ascension. But he comes back to us in the Blessed Sacrament and feeds us with his very body and blood. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Ghost.
Amen.